Masechet Moed Katan, Daf Gimel. We, even though we're talking about Moed Katan, which is about the laws of Chol HaMoed, nevertheless, today we're going to shift into talking about Shvi'it. And we have three main topics. First, what activities exactly are prohibited during Shvi'it? We're going to see two opinions. Only primary melachot, like Shabbat, plus the toladot of pruning vines and pickling grapes. That's one opinion. We're going to see another source that says anything is prohibited that you do in a field and a vineyard. So that's a lot more than the first opinion here. Next, we're going to focus on plowing during a Shvi'it year. Is that biblically prohibited with a punishment? Some say yes, some say no. And then we'll see a riddle of Rav Dimi and try to figure out what it applies to, either plowing on Shvi'it or adding to a Shvi'it in the sixth year. And we'll see a really interesting discussion about the changes over time of what you can do during the sixth year. Okay, why are we talking about Shvi'it in Moed Katan? The answer is because they actually have some similarity. In both, some melachot are allowed and some melachot are not allowed. And specifically, our Mishnah mentioned watering a field. That is permitted on Chol HaMoed if it's a field that requires irrigation. The reason is because we want to prevent substantial loss. And if you're not going to water this field during the entire Chol HaMoed, then everything that's starting to grow there will die and you'll lose out on everything. And therefore, it's called Davad HaAved, something with substantial loss that's permitted to water. And the same is true on the shiv during a Shvi'it year. If there's a field that will be totally ruined, then Shvi'it, you're allowed to water the field on Shvi'it. And so there's some similarities in preventing loss in both cases. And so that's why we're going into these laws now. So we begin here. And the question is, we ended off saying, asking a question on the pasuk. Is this pasuk here? We're going to see this pasuk a couple of times today, so let's analyze it. It says six years. Sheshem tizra sadecha, v'sheshem tizmor karmecha, v'asavtat bo'atav. For 6 years, you can go ahead and do all the work in your field that you want. But u'bashana shivit shabbat shabbaton yela'aretz. 7th year is going to be a rest. That's a general statement, and then it gives some examples. Sadecha lo tizra. Don't sow your field, don't prune your vineyard. And don't reap from your harvest, even things that grow after, and don't gather the grapes of untrimmed vines. Very good. So it gives a few examples. And yesterday, we wondered about that. Why do you have to give all of the examples? After all, pruning is included in sowing. Sowing is one of the basic 39 melachot, right? That's the planting. And when you prune a vines, you're helping it grow, just like planting is going to help something grow. So it's just a tolada, it's a subcategory. Why do you have to mention it explicitly? And so too, picking grapes is the same as reaping reaping grain. They're just two different words because one's talking about grapes and one's talking about grain, but it's the same act and therefore should be considered a subcategory, a tolada of the main melacha. So why does the Torah go ahead and say it explicitly? Oh, it's to teach you that only these two toladot are prohibited on Shvi'it. Anything else is permitted. And so that's where we see the first opinion here. Only the primary melachot and these two toladot of pruning vines and picking grapes. That's it. Those are the only things prohibited on Shvi'it. Anything else you're allowed to do. For example, watering your garden, that's not included in any of these things and therefore is permitted. Okay, now we begin with the challenge to that. Vela behatanya. We're going to quote a long baraita that is much more stringent, includes many more things. Behatanya, sadecha lo tizra v'charmecha lo tizmor. This baraita is going to focus on the fact, the style of the language. Generally, you'd expect it to say lo tizra sadecha, verb first, and then the object. Right, lo tizmor karmecha. Why does it say the noun first? When it says the noun first, it makes it more expansive. It's almost like anything that is even done passively to it. anything regarding the field. So let's see. For example, enli ela zeru avezimot. If I take this literally, then I would know only regarding sowing and pruning. Minay lenikush leidur ulchisuach. And how do I know about weeding, hoeing, and cutting weeds? Even if I don't uproot them, cut them, that those are not allowed. Talmud lomar sadecha lo kadmecha lo. From the way that it says the noun first. And it says field no, vineyard no, lo kol melacha shebesadecha velo kol melacha shebekarmecha. So therefore no labor in your field and no labor in your vineyard, and that's how we include these three items. And then we go on and we add another few items. Minayin she'en mekarsemin ve'en mezaredin ve'en mefasegin be'ilan. And so how do I know that I can't prune a tree or trim dry branches or cut large branches? You see, these we're going to go through the same exercise three times because we're talking at each category. It's three different categories. So here, these are all similar things that from the first category, but to do with a tree. So, you know, just like Eskimos have 30 words for snow, farmers have 30 words for every different kind of thing, even if it's the same similar activity, but one has to do with a vineyard and one has to do with pruning trees. So how do I know that those are prohibited? Tamud omar, sadecha lo, karmecha lo, the same derivation. Lo kol melacha shebesadecha, velo kol melacha shebekarmecha. So since it says noun first, all these things, no good. Minayin she'en mezabelin, ve'en mefarkin, ve'en me'abekin, ve'en me'ashenin be'ilan. How do I know I can't fertilize the soil, remove stones so things can grow better? If there's exposed roots, I can cover it with dust or dirt, fumigate the trees to get the worms out. How do I know all those things are not allowed? Even though the Torah doesn't say them, Talmud lomar sadecha lo, karmecha lo, kol melacha shebesadecha lo, kol melacha shebekarmecha lo. Okay, good. So all these categories, these three different categories, and the things included in them, all not allowed. You see, this is much more expansive than just two toladot. Yachol lo yikashkesh tachat hazetim. Now there are some things that are permitted during a Shavuot, for example, so I might have thought, since it says, you know, law, no to everything, that I might have thought that even hoeing under an olive tree, below yader tachat gefanim, or hoeing under grapevines, that would loosen the dirt underneath and help it grow, or filling cracks in the ground with water, or making these circular ditches, we mentioned that yesterday, around the grapevine that would hold and the collected rainwater. Talmud lomar sadecha lo tizra. Oh, for this we say, you cannot sow your field, but other things are permitted. Okay, so that's the end of the Braita. And you see in this Braita, yes, there are a few things that are permitted, but many, many more things that are prohibited. And so this seems to contradict what we concluded beforehand, that melachot and only two toladot are prohibited. But not everything else is okay. So, we didn't finish. We have to explain the Gemaraita first. Ziri'a bichlal haita, lama yasta lakish eleha. See, how do we know that these four things are permitted? Since it says sadecha lo tizra, don't sow your field. Well, I already knew that, right? And so why are you specifying that that sowing in particular is not allowed? Lama yasta, why is an exception? Lakish eleha, to compare other things to it. Lomad lecha, mazira miyuchedet avoda shebasadeh shebakerem, af kol shi avoda shebasadeh veshebakerem. Just like sowing is something that's special and needed because it's something that is done both for a field and for a vineyard. And both you have to plant the seeds or else nothing is going to grow. And so too, anything that is equally done in a field and a vineyard. So that's all the first categories of all things here that are prohibited. These are things that are necessary for any kind of field or vineyard. And therefore, these things are not allowed because their main objective is to sustain the vines in the field from year to year. And then so that's benefiting the Shavuot. Whereas something that is done only to one or only to the other, that's going to be something that's special, that's needed, just so that it doesn't ruin. And so those things are permitted, right? So this is the second opinion. Anything where field and vineyards are treated the same way, that will be prohibited. But if it's something that's unique to a, for example, putting, you know, making the ring around it, that's something that is just necessary for a vineyard to, so it doesn't completely ruin. So those things are permitted. Okay, so both opinions here permit some things and prohibit some, but the second opinion, which is a braita, is much more stringent than the first one that says only two toladot. So how are we going to explain this? And the answer is quite amazing. Midrabanan ukras machta be'alma. All of the things mentioned in the braita here are only prohibited midrabanan. Oh yeah, but you quoted a pasuk each time. Sadecha lo, karmecha lo. Oh, that pasuk is not a real derivation. It's only a hook. It's only a mnemonic device to give some, remember it and give some biblical authority, a sense of biblical authority. But in fact, these are all midrabanan. Okay, this is quite amazing because I'm guessing if you go ask the Tanaim who of this midrash, they would say, no, we're deriving it from pasuk. Anything derived from pasuk means it's biblical. That's generally true in the Tanaitic sources. When it comes to the Talmud Bavli, now we're dealing with other sources too, and perhaps also to a move towards being more a little bit more lenient during Shavuot. We know how difficult it was for people to survive during a Shavuot year, and so if you can downgrade it from Doraita to Rabbanan, still prohibited, but nevertheless, in certain cases, it would be we'd say the rabbis don't make a gezerah in this case, and then it makes life a little bit easier. And so therefore, it's only asmachta, and so now we can understand that actually we can reconcile these two opinions. And really, from a biblical level, only melachot and these two toladot are prohibited. Everything else is midrabanan. All right, good. And now we're going to go into the next topic, which is plowing. Is that biblically prohibited? Some say yes, some say no. And let's see the reasoning for each one. How can you tell me that... We're not talking about plowing yet. First, something a little bit about hoeing, which was mentioned above. Is hoeing under an olive tree really permitted? Because that was something that's done only for olives, or only for grapevines, not for fields. You don't hoe under the grain in fields. So is that really permitted? And we learn from those particular words, what does it mean, tishmetena, let it rest? That don't hoe it at all, even light hoeing. And untashta lai fallow, that refers to clearing stones, which is not allowed. So you see, these things are not allowed. How come in that braita just now he says it is permitted? So we have a contradiction. Amarav ukba bar chama terekish kushehavu had abruye ilane bechad satume pile abruye ilan asur satume pile share. There's two different kinds of this kind of hoeing. One is to strengthen the trees, kishkushe. The other one is to seal cracks. And so they're different. One is satume pile, one abrie ilan, right, kishkushe avuchad, abrie ilane, vechad satume pile. So if it's to strengthen the tree, then that's going to help it grow, enhance it. That's for profit and gain. So that's not allowed. However, the one that's just sealing cracks, that type of hoeing is going to prevent damage to the tree, and so it's to prevent loss. So you see the same principle, just like on Chol HaMoed, the general opinion is you can do something on Chol HaMoed that will prevent loss, but not for gain. So too on Shavuot, you can't do something that's going to be for gain, but you can do something to prevent loss. Okay, and now we get to the next part. Itemar, about plowing. HaChoresh b'Shavuot, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Elazar, Chad amar lokeh, v'chad amar eno lokeh. It's machloket among these two Amoraim. One says if someone plows their field during a Shavuot, and that will prepare it to grow better later on. So one says, yes, you get a malkut. Another one says, no, you do not get flogged. Now, what's the difference between them, right? They seem to be talking about, is it biblically prohibited and you'd get flogging or not? So lema bedirbi abin amar rabbi ila kami palged amar rabbi abin amar rabbi ila kol makom shemar kelal ba'ase ufrat belo ta'ase en daninoto bichlal ufrat uchlal. Okay, so maybe they are arguing regarding this principle here. So let's explain the principle. First, we have to say what you might think, and then he says no, but this is not true here. So back to the same pasuk we started with. You see, it's in a form of klal uprat uklal, a general, and then examples, and then a general statement. The general statement starts off bashana shevi'it shabbat shabbaton yeh la'aretz shabbat Hashem. So the seventh year is rest, a year of rest. Means you can't do anything. That's a general rule. Then it gives four examples. That's the perat. And then it ends off with another generality. This is going to be a general day, a year of rest. Now, anytime you have that, the question is, do you go by the general, like everything is prohibited, or by the examples and only the examples? So the rule is, klal uprat uklal, anything that is similar to the prat is also included, that the generalities come to include a lot more. Those are just a few examples. And so anything like it is also going to be prohibited. According to that, if you say a rule of klal uprat uklal, which we generally do, this is one of the 13 hermeneutical rules of Rabbi Ishmael. If you do apply that, then plowing would be included because plowing is similar to these items. Good. So then in that case, it would be prohibited. However, here's the exception that Rabbi Abin is teaching. If the general rule is said as an aseh, and here it is, right? Shabbat Shabbaton, make it rest. That's a positive commandment. But the examples, the perat, are said in a negative. Shasadecha lo tizra, karmecha lo tizmor. That is a lo ta'aseh. And then the klal, once again, is an aseh. So it goes aseh, lo ta'aseh, and then an aseh. So you see, these are different types of mitzvot, different categories. In that case, you do not put it together as a klal uprat uklal, but rather these are just separate statements. There's a positive commandment and a separate a bunch of negative commandments. And since we don't apply klal uprat uklal, that would mean only the things that are mentioned are prohibited. Anything else is permitted. So plowing would be permitted. So if we agree with Rabbi Abin, then the plowing would be permitted because we don't apply klal uprat uklal. But if we disagree, whichever opinion is which, we don't know the names of which is who says which. If we disagree with him and we apply klal uprat uklal, then that would include anything that's like the prat, and that would include plowing would be prohibited, and one would get malkut. So that's how you can first explain it. The one who says yes, you get lashes. He disagrees with Rabbi Abin and does apply klal uprat uklal. The one who says you don't get lashes, he agrees with Rabbi Abin, who says you don't apply klal uprat uklal here because it's a positive, negative, positive. And therefore, it's only those examples and not plowing. Okay, this would all make sense, but we don't want to limit each of these amoraim to only one opinion. So we say, la dekula amar leet leet Rabbi Abin amar Rabbi Ila. No, maybe, in fact, everyone disagrees with that principle, and therefore everyone says, yes, there is a klal uprat uklal here. Manda malokesh shapir. The one who says that you do get lashes, it makes sense. Klal uprat uklal, we're going to include everything. That's fine. Manda mal eno lokeh. And so now how can we explain the other opinion that says you don't get malkut? Amalach mikedi, semira bichlal zeria, besira bichlal kesira. So we're getting back to something we already said. We're going to see, I have a repetition now of what we started with. And so here, the reason why I'm not going to apply klal uprat uklal isn't because it's a positive, negative, positive, but for a different reason, which is that there's a doubling of the examples. So after all, zemira pruning, that's a subcategory of sowing. And picking grapes is a subcategory of reaping for grain. And so really, these are the same things. Why are you repeating subcategory within a larger category. It teaches us that only these two subcategories are prohibited, any other subcategories are permitted, and plowing is a subcategory, and therefore it's permitted. There you go. Okay, so that's why, even though he disagrees there with Rabbi Avin, nevertheless permits it. Okay, once we quote this, then we can kind of go on automatic pilot and quote the challenge that we had before, even though we had it just on the same daf. You have to remember when this was orally memorized. So, you know, once you go into a mode of thought, then you continue in that logical flow. So velo v'hatanya sadechalot izrav echad mechalot izmor en le'el azeru avizimur minani dur kikush chisuach tamud lomar sadechalo kal mechalo lo kol melacha shebesadecha velo kol melacha shebekarmecha. Right, you just said that only these two toladot are prohibited, everything else is permitted. But we have this braita that says, Hakam says the noun first, and not lo tizra sadecha, to teach me that it includes everything. It is going to include all of these categories of things that you do in your vineyard. And how about these things that you do for trees? And another category, and fertilizing and removing stones and fumigating the trees and all that. How do I know that's not allowed? Oh, but there is a category of things that are permitted. You might have thought even these things are prohibited, right? The hoeing under the grapevines and the olive trees. Since it does say, even though it says a noun first, it also does say don't sow. Only that's not allowed. Well, I know that's not allowed. That was already included in the general prohibition of things you can't do. Why go out of your way and specify sowing? Anything that is done equally, as necessary equally for a field and a vineyard, those things are not allowed. That's the first three categories. But something that is done only for a vineyard, only for a vineyard, but not for a field, then those things are permitted. Okay, and therefore, lots of things, lots of toladot we see are prohibited, not only two. And we answer the same as before, midrabanan uknas machta be'alma. Really, all those other toladot are only a midrabanan. And the pasuk that we gave here, sadechalo, that was only a support. Bring support to the rabbis from the Torah. Okay, good. So that was a freebie. We got to have a repetition, a little review built in. And so we finished with the second question. Is plowing biblically prohibited? And we saw, yes, if you apply the klal pratu klal, but no, if you follow the other interpretation, the Torah specifies only primary melachot and two toladot. And now we're going to get to a statement that Rav Dimi said, and it was a riddle. He forgot what the statement applies to. He remembers the structure of an argument, but not what it's talking about, not the content. Therefore, we're going to find two solutions. One is talking about plowing on Shavuot, so that's related to what we just said before. And the other solution is we're talking about adding time to the Shavuot year, going back into the sixth year. Kata Rav Dimi Amar Yachol Yilke al Tosefet Venasev la Tamuda Liftura Velayadana Mai Tamuda O Mai Tosefet. Rav Dimi, he was a traveler. He came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And he said, listen, I learned something like really important, and it was something of that there was an additional law, some kind of added something that we thought perhaps one gets lashes for that addition. But in the end, after discussing it, we learned that, no, it's patur, and you wouldn't get lashes for that additional item. But I don't know what that item is that we were talking about. Okay, so to be Elazar Omer Ahmad, first opinion, Hadisha, you must have been talking about plowing. Or rather, the Gemara says, wait, we bring a bit Elazar in because his argument would apply to that structure. Regarding plowing, we wondered, is plowing prohibited on a Shevi'it? Well, maybe it should be prohibited because we can interpret the Pesukim as klal uprat uklal. It only gives a few examples, but the general rule says anything like those examples, meaning any melacha and any tolada would all be prohibited. But in the end, we said, no, that's not the only way to interpret those Pesukim, because we can say, why does the Pasuk enumerate all the details? After all, they're very similar, right? Pruning and picking grapes are similar to planting and reaping, so it's the same thing. So why go out of your way? Oh, it's to teach you that only those two taladot and no others. And so that would fit with that would be a good solution to Rav Dimi's riddle. Something we thought, an added thing, a tolada, that we thought was might be prohibited, but in the end we explain that's permitted. That's the discussion we just had. Okay, but there's another way to resolve this, the riddle, and that is something that we already learned from Rabbi Yochanan. We didn't learn that the rabbis already knew, and the rabbis in Bavel already knew from Rabbi Yochanan. He says, oh, that will fit your riddle too. Rabbi Yochanan amar, yamim sheosifu chachamim lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'achika amar, what is the tosefet? The added days before Rosh Hashanah. Really, the Shevi'it year that starts on Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, that's when you have to stop doing the work in the land. However, chachamim, pay attention to who is doing the adding on here, because that's going to be a subject of a long discussion soon. The Chachamim came and they wanted to add a little bit more, just like you should add, you know, a few minutes before Shabbat or a holiday and bring it in early. So too, the rabbis added some time before Rosh Hashanah of doing work in the field, because that work you're doing, let's say, at the end of the sixth year, only to help things grow in the seventh year, not for anything that's actually going to grow in the sixth year. So those things, Chachamim said, are also prohibited. And how do we know that? Can it be that one would get lashes on the added time in the sixth year? After all, it looks like it is biblical, because we have this pasuk in Shemot that says, "Sheshitim tavod b'yom shebi'i tishbot becharish ubekasir tishbot." This pasuk, it could be talking about Shabbat, the weekday, right? 6 days, it says literally, and the seventh day stop from agricultural work. And so this could be talking about Shabbat laws. But another interpretation is yamim could be a time period that was actually a year. So 6 years, do your work, and on the seventh year, rest. And so if I have that, I know that on the seventh year, I have to stop. But then it goes on and says specifically during the plowing time and during the harvest time, rest. Now, this is a repetition. This is a doubling. If you already say rest from everything, why do you have to say specifically plowing time and harvest time? So maybe that's adding that to say, oh, there's another time besides that, the plowing time during the sixth year. And even beforehand, since that's going to help the seventh year stuff grow, even that's allowed. And then the harvest, that would apply to the eighth year. Things that grew during the seventh year on their own, you can't go and harvest them even in the eighth year. You can't benefit from Shevi'it. So that I might have thought that therefore it's biblically prohibited and you would get Malkut. But then we say no. But after discussing it, we decided no. It's patur. It's okay. It's only midrabanan, as we're about to say. So this is going to be the other solution to the riddle of Rav Dimi, and now we're going to explain it in detail. So mayamim shelifnei Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean? What are these days before Rosh Hashanah that you're not allowed to do agricultural work? Oh, we learned it in the Mishnah in Shevi'it, the first Mishnah, Kiditnan, Ad matai chorshin bistei ilan erev Shevi'it. Until when can you plow in an orchard, sedeh ilan, a field of trees? And so how long can you plow during the sixth year? As long as it will benefit the fruit itself, right? So it's good to plow so that any rain that falls will go down into the ground, into the roots, and help the tree. If it's helping the crop of the sixth year, that's permitted. But once it's not helping that crop anymore, so that means you're just plowing to help it grow in the next, in the seventh year. That is not allowed. So whatever that cutoff time is, when you know it's helping the sixth year, it's okay. After that, it's not good. Well, Bet Hillel omrim ad ha'aseret. Bet Hillel says Shavuot time. Ukrobin dibre elu liot ki dibre elu. Actually, they don't disagree. They're just saying the same thing in two different ways. Bet Shammai is giving a more flexible date, you know, depending on when the rain comes that year, when the crop grows, when you pick the fruit. And so it'll be that. Bet Hillel is giving an objective date. Shavuot, that's it. But actually, they're probably just going to be a few days apart, depending on the year. Maybe some years Bet Hillel will be earlier, Bet Shammai will be earlier. So they actually fundamentally agree. The Admatai Chorshin Sedehalavan. Sedehalavan, a white field, that refers to a grain field. You look out and see all white. How about that? How long can you plow that? Erev Shevi'it on the sixth year. Meshitich lehalecha, vechol zeman shebnei adam chorshin litam mikshaot umid laot. It really gives two definitions, but it seems that each one is explaining the other. So when the moisture stops, right, during rainy season, it rains, and then you really can't plow when it's very moist, but then you wait till it dries a little, and then you would plow. So when it gets totally dry, then you have to stop, and which is the same as the time when people would plant cucumbers and gourds. You plant them at the end of the winter, and that's sixth year crop. So that's fine. You can plow it for what's going to grow in the sixth year. After that point, then you're plowing dried land, and nothing's going to grow there in the sixth year. That would you would only do to prepare for the seventh year. So after that point, it's not allowed anymore. Rabbi Shimon, this is all the Mishnah there in Shavuot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Imken, Natana Torah, Shiur Lekol Echad VeEchad BeYado. When Rabbi Shimon says, I don't like what you said here. You're giving a different measure for each person. Each person is different. Each field is different. Every season is different. And everyone's going to say, well, I think it's still moist, a little moist, it's not so moist. So this is not a good way to legislate. Ela bisteh lavan ada pesach, bisteh ilan ada aseret. Rather, just make one clear rule and say, for grain, it's still Pesach time. For orchards, it's still Shavuot. Those are the cutoff dates when it will help the sixth year. And after those two cutoff dates, then it's for the seventh year, and then that's prohibited. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah. In the printed editions of Talmud Bavli, we have a few extra words. Ubet Hillel Omrim Ada Pesach. This makes no sense because he didn't say Ada Pesach. He said Ada Aseret. So what do you mean he says Ada Pesach? He's arguing with himself in the very same Mishnah. Okay, so if you look in the print editions, it's in the Vilna editions in parentheses because it's taken out and it's properly taken out because it doesn't belong there. If you look in the manuscripts of this Talmud Bavli, you'll see, I know it's small, but you could see from this empty space, it's only found in the first printed printed edition of Cincino, of Bamberg, and in the current printed editions, it was there. But then in parentheses means don't read it. And you see in all manuscripts, that's this whole empty space, it does not appear. It also does not appear in the Mishnah in Shavuot. Okay, so somehow it crept in for some reason, but we'll skip it. excellent. So that is the Mishnah. Amar le bizera up to you, Ada Pesach. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mishum bar Kapara, Rabban Gamliel betinon nimnu al shne perakim halalu ubitelum. Okay, here's the key for us. Then one day, Rabban Gamliel and his court, they came together and voted regarding these two cutoff periods of Pesach and Shavuot. Pesach for a field, for a grain field, and Shavuot you have to stop plowing for an orchard. And they said, no, forget about it. It's okay. It's permitted, right? It was prohibited and now it's permitted. So you see here that this would be an example that would fit into the riddle of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi says there was some additional thing that we thought was prohibited, but then we discussed it and then we decided it was permitted. Oh, this is exactly what we're talking about. The added time of a cutoff in the sixth year that you can't plow. At one point in time, we thought it was prohibited. And then The Rabban Gamaliel said, no, it's okay. So that's this fits into the riddle. Okay, fine. Now we're going to discuss, how did Rabban Gamaliel have the authority to just come and permit it? Rabban Gamaliel bet yino hechi masu mebatili takanta de bet shamay bet hilel. Bet shamay bet hilel, these are very early sages. They came together. They actually agreed, for right? So that gives even more strength. And they agreed that is prohibited. You cannot plow in the sixth year after Pesach and Shavuot time. V'hatenan en betin echol batel dibre betin chabero elem ken gadol menu bechuchma ubeminyan. And a new betin, a next betin, cannot undo, nullify the words of a prior betin unless it's greater in wisdom and in number. And Betilel bat Shammai, these were the greatest. Who could say they're greater in number and wisdom than they are? For how could any betin be greater in number if a Sanhedrin is made up of 71? Rambam explains, it's talking about the number of sages who follow them and accept their authority. Okay, so how could Rabban Gamaliel just go and disband this prohibition? So Eshtomim Kesha'a. So this question was asked to the Biabhu. Biabhu was astonished for a while, a quote from Daniel, like, so good question. And he didn't know what to say, but then he thought of an answer. Amar le emur kachit nu benehen kol asil batel yavo vibatel. You know, Betel and Bet Shammai, when they got together and they made this decree, this gezerah, they built into it an exit clause. And they said, listen, we're making this decree because we think it's appropriate. It's not nice, not a good thing to be working on the sixth year in a way that will help things grow in the seventh year. But we understand that this may become a hardship one day, and we don't want to make this an absolute law for all time that can't be undone. So we say, built into this gezerah is, if a future betin comes together and they decide they want to nullify it, it's okay. And therefore, it's not a violation of the Mishnah in Eduyot. Okay. Then we asked about that. Did Huhi, hold on. Is this enactment that you can't plow in the end of the sixth year, was that actually created by Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai? Not so. Halacha l'Moshe M'Sinaihi. It actually is an old tradition going all the way back to Moshe Har Sinai. How do we know that? Amar Bi Asi, Amar Bi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechonya, Ish Bika'at Bet Chortan. So this tradition says that the 10 law of 10 saplings, that's the one that applies for us. This law says that after 10 young trees in a certain area, you're allowed to water the whole area because otherwise these saplings will die. You can plow the whole field of that area because it's necessary for these young trees. They're very weak. And so you're allowed to plow for that. And this is a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. What you see here is that this is an exception. If you have these young saplings, then you're allowed to plow the whole field. But otherwise, for grown trees, you would not be allowed to plow just talking about during the sixth year, right? For those 10 saplings, you can plow them, not during a Shiva each year, but right before, right up to up until Rosh Hashanah, that begins the seventh year, you can plow for these saplings, but not any other trees. So you see that there's halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai that says that plowing an orchard is prohibited. Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai didn't make it up. Other things in this tradition on our arava, that we go every day of Shavuot and we bring aravot and we march around and put them next to the mizbeach. V'nisu chamayim, and every day of Sukkot, we go out and get water, draw water and we pour it on the mizbeach. This was a subject of great controversy. The Sadducees said, no, we don't do that. It's not in the Torah. And the Pharisees had to say, yes, it is. Yes, this is an old tradition. So that's why they're emphasizing this halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. And they argued about this a lot. A civil war started actually because of this halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. So now you say, see, it's halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. Therefore, the Rabban Gamaliel doesn't have authority to just go and change it. How could he do that? Here's a good answer. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Gemidi Hilcheta, Shiloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. No, this halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai only applies 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. From Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's when you have to stop plowing your fields and your orchards. That's it. Only for 1 month. So that remains, has to remain in place. So nobody can undo that. And then Betilam Bet Shammai came and said, we're going to add more, not only 30 days, but go all the way back to Pesach, and it says you have to stop plowing. And that's they're the ones that made this condition. Betil Bet Shammai says, if you want to nullify that added time period, then you can nullify it. So Rabban Gamliel says, yeah, it's too hard now, and we're going to nullify it. We're going to go back to the original Halacham Shem Sinai. You have to stop 30 days before. But Pesach, Aser, and Shavuot, that's okay. You can keep on. You keep on plowing. And so there you go. That's how we're able to change the status of this law. Okay, we're going to ask further. Is this really Halacham Shem Sinai? Isn't it actually from the Torah? I'm going to quote this Bechashir Tishpot that we hinted to earlier. But this is going to go into a long discussion that will take us on to the next staff. But just for now, we can see the great struggle that the Jewish people had in Eretz Yisrael for keeping Shavit. They wanted to keep Shavit, but you know, nothing growing, it could really lead to people starving. And so therefore, the rabbis did their best to go back into the sources and try to figure out, right, what are different ways that we can have at least some things able to grow on their own and help the field out a little. And so this would make a big difference if you can say that you're allowed to plow, you can start preparing some things, you're allowed to do a few things, you can water, right, some types of fields during Shavuot, and therefore at least some things will grow. They're still equal on poor people, everyone can come and take it. But at least there'll be some food so that people will be able to sustain themselves during the Shavuot year. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.